That's what he was, to pretty much, he was a son of God, son of man. But that's what our focus is, to be more like Christ and be whole. As the world gets darker, we need to become more wholer. Because if my mind and my will and emotions are submitted and God is loving me and creating that wholeness, I can be his light in dark areas that I normally think I could be in. Because I'm not in fear of things. He wants us whole. He doesn't want crazy Christians. They're out there. If you don't know one, might be you. I don't know. But we don't want to be Fruit Loops, eating Fruit Loops in the morning. But we want to be whole. Jesus was whole. He wasn't shaking and moving. He wasn't like, oh my gosh, I've never seen this. He was always in tune with the Father because the Father loved him so dearly. And we'll see that more today. And how do we sustain this wholeness? We talked about that. It's not an easy thing, but when you begin to start growing whole in your spirit, soul, and body, and you know there's unison there to some degree, and it's under the devotion that you have, which we said earlier, a desire devotion, that's what produces the obedience. If you just try and do obedience with no real wholehearted devotion and love and a response to a loving God, it's going to be a religious organizational act that you just have to do something. But through devotion, which is our response to him. I don't know. Oh, this is what I was going to say. So the review of last week was, so how do we sustain when we start becoming whole? Spirit, mind, soul, and body. God designed it through relationship. That's what sustains it. And it's not an easy word at times. First, our relationship with Jesus and with God. And the Trinity and the Holy Spirit. What's your relationship with that? That's number uno. I don't know a lot of Spanish, but I know what uno means. One. That's your number one priority. Second is, how is your relationship with other Christians around you? How is it? Thirdly, how is your relationship with the world? Meaning sin. Are you comfortable with your sin right now? Do you sound like the world in your dialogue? There's no condemnation, we've got to have something to shoot for. There's that thing, if you shoot for nothing 100% of the time, you're most likely going to hit it. Nothing. But this is part of that discipleship too. So relationships help sustain our wholeness of growing whole because of the love of God in our lives. If we do not become whole to some degree, at least a pathway of wholeness, we'll start taking the mechanisms and mechanics of our Christianity. Again, the mechanisms were, you need to read your Bible, you need to pray, you need to worship, you need to have a devotion life that cultivates that. I can call that the mechanisms of things. And then the mechanics we talked about is, well, you need to have faith. And you need to know what surrender is, because sometimes that's a daily thing in our lives. And you need to know what forgiveness is in your life. These are mechanics. But if we get so great at one tool better than the other, and we do all this, and nothing with the focus of the anthem of being whole in everything we do, we start unawarely taking two things happen. Taking things into our own hands. Ouch. Helping God, maybe. Because I'm not whole all the way. I got to do what I've grown up in. I've got to help. And that can create a man-centered and a woman-centered gospel, too. Be careful. Where it's all about you, not him. Or when things don't go the way I think God should have done something, we start blaming him and others around us. Because we're not whole. We don't see the big picture of things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad I came to church today. I hear you. All right. So those are things we talked about last week. Here was the anchor scripture for last week, and I did want to get a few more things in. So it's 1 John 4:18-16. Just listen. I don't know if they have it up here. Okay. We know how much God loves us, And we have put our trust in His love. Not in our faith, in His love. God is love. We've heard this before. He doesn't give love. It's who He is. And all who live in love live in God. A wholeness. We're not done yet. And God lives in them. It's the wholeness we're talking about. So important. But I would pace that if people still put things on their refrigerator. I'm not allowed to because it's stainless steel. But put a thing on your refrigerator, wherever you put that. 1 John 4:18 through 16. That's the anchor of wholeness. And we talked about John knew about God's love. He was the apostle that experienced this and went to the end with Jesus, with His love. He knows about it. So he wrote about it. So most of 1 John is a love all these love chapters, but it's really reminding us that we need to be whole so our relationships can be under the anthem of being a whole Christian with God, with other believers, and what's your relationship with the world. Here's a few verses, so I'm still kind of in review, but I didn't get time to put this in again. One is 1 John 4:1-5. I wanted to just hit this. It's not quickly because it's a few sets of verses, but it's discerning false prophets. Right when I say that, your mind is probably looking for any televangelist or something else that you've experienced, or the backyard prophets during the elections and all that, you know, and all those fun things, which prophecy is real. I'm not saying it isn't real. But let's read further and see what John's talking about. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the spirit they have come from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. We know this. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. I'm not going to get into that part. We'll do that later in the year. But you belong to God. My dear children, you have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. We need to be reminded of that. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them on 24-hour talk shows and news outlets. Oh, that's not in there. Okay. So John is really talking, again, always remember we're talking about an Eastern book with Western mentality. You guys are all from the West mostly. So he's talking about those false prophets that are in title saying they're prophets. But I also want to add something. It is not adding it to the Bible, but I believe John was also talking about, because I can back that up with some more scripture, that you may know more false prophets in your life than you think you may. One may be sitting next to you. Because prophecy can get to a realm. Well, wait, we know in Proverbs, the powerful scripture, life and death are in the power of the what? And most prophecy comes from somebody's tongue, right? So follow me. You may have some people in your life that speak death over you more than life. It could even be family members. Could you believe that? So I would just add to this in a sense that John is also talking about maybe people that are obviously not believing that Jesus was the Son of God, and they're also speaking the world's coming to the end, the sky is falling, which can be true at times, it's coming at some point, but they could also be speaking death into you about your health situation right now, about what you've always been and you'll never get better, about the way you are and you'll never change. Those are prophetic things that you do not need to receive in your life. Because of what was done on the cross. And if we're whole, we can take that and say, bless you, thank you, but I know my God. and move on. If we're not whole, we could say, you know what? They may be right. And now just another weight went on you. You know what? I did it again. Gosh darn it. Fell into that sin or whatever it is. Somebody's going to prophesy this debt. You know, I'm just going to hear it from whoever again. But if we're whole, we know where we're heading. And we know who has us and we know whose we are. Wholeness. But I just wanted to add that certainly in there is so important, knowing that. Another thing I wanted to circle back, and then we're going to end with 1 John 5. Oh boy. And nobody told me to circle back, but I just want to make sure I articulated well. Last week, in 1 John 3, I believe, we were talking about where if you're a Christian and you cause your brother to stumble or sister to stumble, right? We talked about that. That's bad. But I don't think I paused enough when I went into my rant, okay? It's okay, I'm ranting for a minute. I said, when somebody leaves churches and they say, hey, and they call you up someday or text you and say, I just found the promised land, okay? I said, that's soul steering. That is. But I want to be clear in my articulation in two things. One, when somebody leaves a church, they may be called somewhere else. That's not a sin. Where's my camera? That's not a sin. If you're called somewhere else, that's where you're going to flourish. I'll make sure I articulate that. Second, if somebody comes into here and says, my gosh, that lead pastor is amazing. You know, you got to come to this promised land church. Don't do that. Don't soul steer. That's my whole point was. Whether people come in or people leave or whatever, and you're mature enough to pray that through where you need to be, I hope. But I just hit that with the soul steering, and I may have vented a little bit, which is okay. I'm allowed to occasionally, I think. That's not sin if you leave a church. I mean, obviously, if you leave offended, if you leave where you've missed all the speed bumps to grow, and you're I'm out of here, wherever it is, whatever church, you know, it's probably not God calling you. It's just you're offended, and you're going to go to the next church until you get offended there. But there I go again. But if you leave a church and you're actually called, that's fine. That's fine. God will move us around. He's a great orchestrator. That's a whole other message someday. All right, so we got that. I want to end, and it's amazing, the worship this morning. I didn't know what songs they were singing. But I wanted to end this part of it. Obviously, 1 John has 5 chapters, and I want to get into John 5 a little bit here to kind of finish off the wholeness of things of what I'm talking about. So John starts landing his plane in 1 John. Again, he wrote many other books, as we know. And I didn't give you guys the scriptures because this is kind of this morning. I said I wanted to go this way. So don't worry. So just listen to my therapeutic voice, okay? All right. 1 John 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. This is the relationship. He's kind of recapping this whole thing that we talked about of wholeness. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They are if you don't have a devotion to God. Remember we talked last week, God's love, Almighty God loves you so much. And what's your response to that? It hopefully is your devotion to him. Your devotion to him. And out of that comes his obedience and following his commandments. So John is saying it shouldn't be a burden if that's your desire, right? Your devotion. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Not only those believe that God is my Father. Talking about wholeness here. You can't leave Christ out of your Christianity. And we've got to be very careful. And back to the false prophets. When you take Jesus out of God, there is no love. Because God's love is exhibited through Jesus on what he did. So religion can capsulize just God People get very comfortable, uncomfortable. You can talk about God. God loves you, and we need to say that. This is the great, can I pray for you? God loves you. But when you start throwing Jesus in the mix, it can convict a little bit. Because it's actually, have you received God's love then? You can't receive God's love outside of Jesus. I know we know this, but we have to be reminded. And this is what John's saying. And the other thing, let me go to belief real quick. And Pastor Mike, you did a great thing on Wednesday talking about the way, and you opened up the service about how many believe in God, and he did a great exercise. Everybody raised their hand. I think I jumped up and said, yes, hallelujah. And then you said, okay, but the devil believes in him too. Whoop-dee-doo, you used those words. I don't know what translation, but whoop-dee-doo, and it was great. So again, I had written this part a while ago, but it's in line. I wanted to camp on that word belief, and that's where Pastor Mike was going a little bit. Because we have an Eastern book with Western mentality sometimes. And over time, the man-centered gospel and woman-centered gospel has grown more and more that we want to make. We don't do it inherently, but we don't do it intentionally, if that makes sense. But it's just through preachers or whoever and just busyness. But we make the gospel more convenient than it shouldn't be. So belief, I believe. There's a difference. New Englanders up to about 30 years. I may have it wrong in the years. I don't know. But for me, at my young age, 30 years, you know, New Englanders, they believe there's such things as tornadoes, right? But a belief to Tulsa, Oklahoma, if I live in Tulsa, my belief's a little different about tornadoes than in New England. Again, we see them here and there. But I believe it's there, yeah. But I'm not affected by it as much on that. See, in the Middle Ages, there was, three words that describe really belief, the different levels. One is nototia, which is notice. That's the shallow level of belief. Observe the fact objectively. I know it exists. The tornado exists, right? I believe that. And then the next thing you get deeper is the essentia. It's kind of that assenting that acknowledges this truth intellectually. So I've gone to a deeper stage, but it starts here. And then there's the fiducia with his faith, which is receiving that as a reality in my life personally. So that third level of believing is an action. An action. Does that make a little bit of sense? So when the Eastern book is talking about believing in Jesus and you're a child of God, it's talking about all three. It is personal. It is everything. It encompasses your life. There is nothing between you and God. That is the action of believing. We learned this during COVID sometimes. That I believe in something. Well, if you really... Christianity isn't a reference point. I believe I'm a Christian. Where's your lifestyle? It should be affecting every part of your life. Believing. So that's what John means here. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. He's talking to Christians in the churches of Ephesus and the other churches around, most likely, that I assume when I say believing, this is your lifestyle. You have a devotion. Not that I just mentally assented and that's it. Amen? Oh boy. Let's go to verse 11. And that is why God has testified he has given us eternal life. This is in 1 John 5:11. And that this life is in his Son. In his Son. Jesus. Whoever has the Son has life. Wholeness. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. Wholeness. These are promises as well, too. I have written this to you, this is John, as you know, who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. That helps build a little wholeness in my life. I don't know about you. That I know where I'm ending up. It's not a selfish act. It just knows I'm in the presence of God. And all you folks are coming with us, I hope, right? That we have that anchor, that hope in the eternal life. And we are confident that he hears us when we ask for anything that pleases him. Got to remember that. I'm not selling a consumer gospel. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he gives us what we ask for. Notice he didn't use the word prayer, but that's a whole other message. Let's continue in verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God, wholeness, because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God and he is eternal life. Dear children, John lands the plane here, keep away from anything that may take God's place in your hearts. In your hearts. To sum wholeness up, Jesus is the example of what God has done for us and who we are to become like him. Plain and simple. Jesus. And if we keep Jesus out of the center, I know we had that great song in the 90s, Jesus in the center of it all. Jesus in the center of it all. From beginning to end, he will always be and always been you, Jesus. You see, how you can experience the love of God and where I'm coming to in this wholeness is through the mechanisms of what we need to do, but it's through devotion of praying and reading our Bible and studying and worshiping and the obedience that comes out of that. But if Jesus is not at the center of any of that, you're not experiencing God's love. Because God's love, he said, I'm going to show you my love. Here's my Son. If you want to see what I've done, look through him and look to him. And that's it. Because everything that is life is in him is what John just said. Everything, the wholeness you want. The soon coming king. The completion of his restoration plan involves Jesus. Everything. So when you're going through something, I would recommend, and scripture would lean into that, as I begin to worship Jesus. The beauty of him. Because everything, and we're going to see if we get to it today, everything that God is has been given into him for us to look at him and reflect on him and become more like him. More like Jesus. The beauty, the kindness, everything. The love is coming through Jesus. Jesus. Wholeness. Keep it on your radar. Make it a goal. Jesus. The wholeness that God wants for us is found in Jesus and his love. Let's move on. I have some time. Let's go to the next part that I wanted to get in here. So we talked about God's love can create wholeness. The other part is God's love creates impact in our life. And I know we know that, but I just want to hit a few things. There's so many areas we could talk about how the power of God's love can impact our life. It's not just something I read about nicely. It's living and breathing inside of me. It's in me. I experience it, the results in my life. I want to talk about one quick thing. Well, there's three things to it, but imagine if the power of love, his love in us, again, looking at Jesus still, could begin to turn the whys and what's in our lives into knowing more of his ways. Let me say that again. Imagine if the power of his love could transform us to know more of his ways in our life instead of us asking more questions of what and why. So the what and whys are, we're all human, right? We can talk to some human beings in this room. We're inherently wanting to know outcomes of things, right? When things happen, what's the outcome? I went to bed early last night and didn't watch the Washington Commanders play. Who are they playing? I need help. Detroit. I went to the first quarter. I'm like, man, this is great. But when I woke up this morning, I didn't go to this first in the morning. I went to my phone and checked the outcome of the score. I won't tell you if I was happy or not, but we want outcomes. It's inherently, we just want outcomes in our lives. If a diagnosis is there, I need to know the outcome. Well, what does that mean tomorrow and the next year? Many people that don't know God close enough, don't know his ways and the love that they have for him, they begin to make even other questions like, if a plane crashes, well, if there's a God, why did that happen? Why? You know, why did my somebody die? Why did this happen? Why did I lose my job? And inherently, even as Christians, we can have that in us. And it's okay to ask questions. God can handle every question. But I'm wanting to know that I'm being more impacted by his love, that I don't need to have the answers for absolutely everything. I just need to know your ways. And we're going to find his ways in a few minutes. And we know most of the ways is through Jesus that already has loved us and done what he's done. And that's not a simplistic answer to a complex question. That's the truth to everything. Truth. It's truth. And if God wants to give you answers, he'll give you answers. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. But if our first reaction to everything is, well, what, why, build a narrative, and I got to figure this out, then we've just pushed God back to say, you know what? I know you're a loving God. I know you gave us Jesus. I don't understand everything. But I know because of your love that I continue to receive makes me whole, that I'm beginning to know your ways above anything else. Your ways. Let's look at some examples of ways. You had Moses back in Exodus. Exodus 34, God is beginning to give a human being outside of Adam to explain and to disclose his ways on Mount Sinai. Yes, Moses came up to do the Ten Commandments, but there was another thing he was doing at the same time. And Exodus 34, and I'll go to 14 in a minute, but he's saying, Moses, thank you. Yahweh is way, by the way, right? Way, Yahweh. Yahweh says, he's saying this to Moses, I'm a compassionate God. I'm slow to anger. Aren't we all thankful there? I love lavishing you with unfailing love. He's saying this to Moses. But I do have to hold accountable those who don't love me. But I'm a loving God. And then he goes further to disclose this to Moses on that mountain. He says in verse 34:14, he says, you must worship no other gods but me, the Lord, whose very name, and I become, was that, what translation did I give you? Jealous. See that word? Whose very name is jealous. God, he created us. And he's jealous. If we have other gods in front of him, Pastor, I don't have any other gods. Hey, what time's American Idol on? NFL can be a god too. I proved it this morning, maybe. Again, don't go on a hunt of things, but just God, the Holy Spirit will tell you. But he wants nothing in front of us. Jealous is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. Not your church attendance. You need to have that. His relationship. We talk about wholeness. God is revealing things that can be the undertow of his ways, his nature. And Moses later on, when they're getting closer to the promised land, there's one verse that God says, so this is Moses' response as he's digesting all this that God's telling him in his ways. And he comes to a point, and we've heard this before, he says, but okay, we're going to go to the promised land. This is Moses. I'll go, and it looks really nice, and it looks comfortable. But if you're not going with me, meaning God, I'm not going. That's a man who knew God's ways and his love and a relationship. Let's go to David. David is a man after God's own heart. David found his ways a little different than Moses. Mainly because of the mistakes he continued to do sometimes. Amen? How many times were you like, oh, you're gracious, God, thank you. But David was learning God's ways after he would mess up here and there. Some of the Psalms are those roller coasters of like, I'm desperate, oh, but your grace is great. You know, there's all these roller coasters of emotion and that soul going on. And we get to a point that in Psalm 27, David, verse 11, David begins to make a response to those ways. Like we just said, Moses was, I don't want to go where you're not going. David would say, teach me your way, O Lord. and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. So he knew his ways was always going to carry him. God's character, his nature was always going to be with him more than against him. We go to Psalm 119. David is even saying, my desire is to go even deeper to know your ways. Can you put 119:10 up? Yep. I have tired hard to find you, and don't let me wander from your commandments. Can you keep going? I think verse 11. Did I give you that? That's all right. He's basically going, how I'm going to find this is getting more into your word and prayer and the mechanics of this. This is how I'm going to find it. And then we go into the famous one that is Psalm, well, we'll skip over that. But these are David responding that I don't want to sin against you. I don't have a desire because I know here's where his desire is. I have hidden your word in my heart. How many of us can say that? I don't know if I can raise my hand boldly. I can raise it. I have hidden your word in my heart. That's his nature. It's in the word of God as well, too, that I may not sin against you. For some of you that are dealing with the temptations and addictions, there will be a point when God is making you whole that you come to a point that, how could I hurt my loving Father? How can I hurt him? God is a creator, not a dictator. He created Eden, a paradise, not Alcatraz. But we can get this warped sense sometimes. His ways are to have Eden in us, that paradise, that relationship of what God wanted in us. It's his desire. He is patient, as we just learned. And that is an amazing thing. Does God cause bad things to happen? Pastor Mike, I'm just kidding. Does he cause bad things to happen? If you know his ways, you're asking the wrong question. If you know his ways, God is love. Now, I would recommend, too, when things are happening and bad things are happening, I would take immediate appraisal. I mean, Job, we kind of understood, did that. But is some of this, if we have sin in our lives, is that causing some of the things we don't want to happen in our lives? Ouch. Or if I really don't have, you know, sin in my life, I think I've been cleansed and I walk with a repentance dispensation towards my God. But we live in a sinful world. So some things that you have no control over that happen to you that you don't want to happen, but we live in a sinful world. Now God's grace and the Holy Spirit will help us with all that. But we need to be careful. Here's a powerful scripture with Paul. Let's mention Paul here. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Another way there. Then you will learn to know God's way, aka will, for you, which is, Paul seems to have discovered it, is good and pleasing and perfect. In Isaiah, we have my ways are higher than your ways, and that's so true. So we need to trust that that can be there too. But Paul was very clear about just saying, let God continue to transform you, because it will always point to a loving God where he will just reveal more of himself and his ways and his will in your life. And it should start by transforming the way you think. Imagine we can come to a place when all hell breaks loose, but I can rest in his will. Because I know I have a loving God. I have a loving God. Grief, hurt, those are real things. I'm not saying you're not going to go through that. But you know it's the undertow is there is a loving God. A loving God. Paul, we'll get back to Paul. He was able to disclose God's ways, but he learned them through who, right? Jesus. Got to see him for a little bit. There's no great definition of love. We know the mechanics of it. Love's a choice. You know, you have to make a choice. It's not, if you let your soul, if you're unwhole, you let your love run all by emotions. And Barry White's playing in the background. That may not sustain you forever. And all the married people said, amen. It's love. You know, we choose. We got to choose. What's the commitment? What are the choice, the love? What are we going to do? We need to know that. But Paul kind of put love in a box, which is a big box. And I think it's great because he began to know God's ways through looking at what Jesus did when he was in ministry and his words and his teaching. So I'm going to disclose to you, and you know the scripture well, but it's really a declaration of God's ways. 1 Corinthians, as it relates to love, right? 1 Corinthians 13:4, we know it. God is patient and kind. Well, wait a minute, love is. But didn't we read before, God is love. So God is patient and kind. God is not jealous, even though he said he was, or boastful or proud. But Paul's hearing this. He's not boastful. God's not boastful or rude. It does not demand its own way. Imagine if God demanded his own way every time. It's not irritable, and it keeps no records of being wrong. So we take that as his ways, God's ways through Jesus in our life. And now we're becoming more like Jesus. What are our ways? Chris is patient and kind. Who laughed? That was my wife either, wasn't it? Chris is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Chris doesn't demand his own way. He is not irritable. And he keeps no records of being wrong. Or who's wronged him. That's love in each and every one of us. It is coming through knowing the ways of God through Jesus. And when if you're not becoming more like Jesus, you don't have to worry about that. Do your own thing. I'm just truthful. But if you are, you know God's ways as this ways should be our ways if we are trying to focus on that. Again, exchanging your whys and whats by leaning into more to find God's ways. And if you can do that, you'll build a wholeness more in life. And I understand the humanity of ourselves wants outcomes for everything. We want results. Movies make billions of dollars on that, right? A good movie, which is very relative when I say that, a good movie has to have a resolve of an ending that's like, oh, Forrest Gump did come home or whatever. You know, that love life came back together. Most of those movies have to have a resolve, an outcome that we like. And we're no different because it's from our human nature. But let's lean into God's ways. Last quick thing, he is mighty to save. If you are receiving God's love in your life, it has saved you from hell. We know that. And that is something that we can stand on every day. That eternity is our in the presence of God. He was mighty to do that. God was mighty enough by his power to release us from eternal death. His love did that because of Jesus. His love raised Jesus from the dead towards us. His power that God is coming back with Jesus to judge the nations and the kings in each and every one of our lives soon. There's power, but that's powered by love for us to have a restoration. You can't have restoration without judgment. That's all of the message. But we need to lean into that. But he's mighty to save us. And if he's mighty to save us, could he be maybe mighty to save others around you? You see, this love, if it's you're receiving, if you're getting whole, and you know where I'm going now, probably, if you know my script, if you're whole and you're getting this love, it can't just sustain, it just can't live inside of you because it's not love. Love is love when it's given away. So then you have to give it away, what God has given in you, and that's what a broken world is waiting for right now. Love. God's love in you. And it's not a love of compromise. It's not a love of this. Let God transform, Peter just said and John just said. But it's a love of showing that God loves them. It's the good news that we know. Michael W. Smith wrote this powerful song, and I ain't going to sing it, but I'm going to read it. Everyone needs compassion, a love that never fails. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of the nations, Savior that can move mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. He's the author of my salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. We sang about that earlier. Jesus conquered the grave. He is mighty to save. And if he saved you, he can save a hurting world around you. And you're part of the solution with Jesus inside you and the Holy Spirit. You see, when we begin to give away love, we get more to fill up. You never have an empty tank with God's love in your life. But if you have a full tank, eventually that gas gets old. It doesn't work as well for the engine. But you need to give love away. But Pastor, I'm not an evangelist. Neither am I. None of us are. But we all know the good news and the great commandment that Jesus left to. We're trying to become more like. Said, go tell the world about this good news. Do it in whatever you can. I may not know scripture. Okay, say God loves you. You just quoted John 3:16. Oh my gosh, that's great. There's power in that word. My God knows where you are. There's a scripture in Ephesians about that. Oh, you just spoke the word. You're becoming the good prophet that we talked about earlier. Prophetic in that. Amen? Let's stand. We just put our arms on the person next to you. You don't have to hold their hands. Just maybe the arm. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. And that proof that we cannot forget is through your Son, Jesus. Everything we need is in you. What you've already done and are coming back to do, it's in you. Let us witness the beauty of you, Jesus, the kindness, the grace, the forgiveness that you have towards us. Everything that God loves has been poured into you for us. Lord, let that we take that name of Jesus that you've given us, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that we have authority to speak in love to situations around us. Because you've loved us. Lord, let us have an intention and a dispensation to also be whole in you. And our mind and our will, our emotions and our body as a temple. And you, Holy Spirit, that lives in us if we are followers of Christ. Let them be a unity inside to build wholeness. Lord, let us know that, let us know that when things come at us, because of your love, we fight our battles, knowing that it may look that we're surrounded, but we're only surrounded by you. And in you is victory. In you is peace. In you is restoration, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. If there's areas in our house where we're not letting God into it, in those rooms, kick the door open wide, Holy Spirit. Let us come in, rip the roof off of the entire house if you need to, so your love can overwhelm us and heal us and make us whole again. Thank you that you're commissioning us to be the light of the world. And it's not in our own efforts, but in you, in us, Holy Spirit. Let us love one another that in this touch point right now, that if somebody's going through things, let us be vulnerable to share it so we can pray for each other and encourage one another that we're on this road together to follow you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Let it be the anchor of everything we do. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mike Sandell. I'm here in Faith Christian Center. So glad you're able to join us this morning. And I trust that you enjoyed the message today. And the message is quite simple. God is love. And the reason why God loves you so much is because that's who he is. He can't help to be the love that he claims to be, because he loves us. And the greatest expression, the ultimate expression of God's love towards you and me is through his son, Jesus. The Bible tells us a very familiar verse that you all know in John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world," that includes you and I, "that he gave his only son." And one of the things about his love is that God loves us so much, he loves us just as we are. However, he loves us too much to keep us where we are. He wants to change us. He wants to make us whole through his love. And the Bible tells us that God had poured his love into our hearts by his Spirit so that we can extend that love that he showed us towards others. The Bible says that we are to walk in love. That means that we are to love our brothers and sisters in the same way that God has loved us. That's what makes us whole. That's what helps us, because God is a God of relationship. He desires relationship with us. And love is the one that makes that connection between him and us. But that relationship doesn't extend just between us and God, but also towards others as well. So whenever you have a chance, that opportunity to love someone, do it. Because God demonstrated his love towards us through his son so that we can extend that love towards others. If you want to be whole, if you want to walk in that wholeness, walk in that same love that God extended towards us. And it is possible for us to do that because he gave us that love, as I mentioned earlier. So I hope you enjoyed the message. I hope this message encouraged your faith, but also build up that love in you that God has demonstrated and also blessed us with. So once again, I want to thank you for joining us today, and hope to see you again next Sunday. By the way, as a matter of fact, we want to extend that invitation for you to come here and join us here, right here at Faith Christian Center, because the experience is so much greater. But again, we thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you. And if there's a number on your screen, if you've never given your life to the Lord, please call that number. There's someone who's there to call, to talk with you, to pray with you, and to help lead you into a much closer and personal relationship with Christ. Thank you so much once again. And I'm Pastor Mike Sandell here at Faith Christian Center. Thank you for joining us. We love you.